I'll volunteer to call the meeting to order as a longtime ex-chair. So we're all three commissioners are here, which is exciting, and our staff is here as well, and the treasurer's assistant Schmitty is joining us here. Josh, it's good to have you on the phone.
Thanks.
We have to elect a chair. Historically, the attorney generals have not been very interested because they're very busy. And I don't know whether the treasurer would like to be the chair. I don't know what her thinking is.
I would love to be the chair.
You would love to be.
I would. Because, I mean, from my perspective, we can have a really active role in helping to provide guidance with the investment. So that's what I do. And I would really like to get involved and work closely with Rich and Tom and Jonathan on being engaged on the investment side and ensuring that we are, you know, providing the best returns to our beneficiaries.
Well, I've been the chair for hundreds of years, and I think what you say would be interesting. So from my perspective, I'd actually make a motion to designate the treasurer as the board chair.
I would second that motion.
We have a second. All in favor of designating the state treasurer to be the board chair, vote aye. Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Sarah.
And you are now chair. I'll hand you the gavel.
All right. Thanks, Secretary. So we are moving down to routine business. Josh, I don't know if you have the packet in front of you, but we're going to approve the minutes from the last meeting, which was on December 18th. Are there any questions about the previous minutes?
Well, I looked over the minutes, and they're, as I remember, I was the only one of us who were there, and I will make a motion to approve them, to approve the minutes.
I second the motion.
Great. So there's first and second. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye.
Aye,
Josh.
Great. All right. So the minutes are approved. The next item of business is looking at the loans. So we have, the 12 loans that...
Totaling $3,709,000.
How much?
$3,709,000. And this is my cue to say they've been approved for public purpose, Mr. Chairman.
They have. Great. Are there... So
Did you say that?
Yep. They've been
approved. Oh, not to hear it?
Yeah, they were referred back from the AG's office.
So they have been approved for public...
Well, I'll be excited to make a motion to approve these 12 loans.
So just a point of inquiry. Do we usually do these all together then?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, they can be done separately.
Anybody can ask for one to be pulled out.
Right, and every so often there will be a situation where one will be pulled out, but it's been tradition to treat them all the same unless someone has an objection to them.
Okay. So you can continue your motion.
I made a motion to approve these 12 loans.
Was there a second, Josh?
I have one question for the staff. Is there anything about these loans that makes them different from the typical loans that the board approves?
Rich?
No, there isn't. They're all typical loans.
Just to be picky, helping Sarah, did you second them, Josh?
He didn't second. He had a question.
Theoretically, you should second them first so we can discuss them, following Robert's rules.
I will second the motion then so we can discuss.
Okay.
So there's discussion. Thanks.
Mr. Attorney General, these loans are all in the normal course of business. There's nothing abnormal about any of them.
Was there any question in specifically?
No, I just wanted to make sure that these were typical, they went through the typical process, and that there's nothing unusual about them that we should be briefed on by the staff.
This is Doug. The one thing I would comment on as an old-timer is that we see that most of these are municipality. And I often feel badly that we don't have more school loans, but we don't get as many of those as we used to. So all 12 of these, I think, are municipality type loans, which are certainly okay. I could ask the staff why we're not getting more school loans at the moment and see if they know.
In general, Doug, schools can issue tax-exempt debt for a lower rate. And so, and many times it's advantageous for them to come to the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands for their borrowing, but most often it's in their interest to go to the open market.
Has that been true for the last decades?
Yes.
Because we used to get a lot of school loans, I remember.
A lot of those are timing loans, Doug, where they were bridging some financing, and they're, if I recall, they're more modest in size than the bonds they would float.
Okay. Thank you.
And I just have actually two questions. I think one is on the Chilton loan and the finance pass-through for development. Do we know any, did they give us any details on the specifics of that?
Yes, they are they're passing through this loan to a developer for some affordable senior housing.
Oh.
Apartments. They're building a senior housing apartment complex, and they needed some incentives from the village to do that.
So the municipality remains the obligor on the loan to us, but they have turned around and loaned the proceeds of it.
So we're almost going, is it like a bridge financing then?
Well, they're loaning the money.
Oh, they're loaning it directly.
Right. Then the Pewaukee will loan that money directly to the developer.
Oh, okay.
So the developer will pay them interest?
Yeah.
At the same rate they pay us?
Maybe more.
We don't get involved in that discussion.
Okay.
Sometimes they mark it up a little bit.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And then my only other one was about pursuing with the prior pension liabilities. When we get involved in prior pension liabilities, do the beneficiaries ever know that we do any of this work for them, that we're actually part of that?
No. So the beneficiaries of it may already have be retired for decades. When the municipalities of Wisconsin joined the Wisconsin Retirement Service 40-some years ago, what happened was each of the municipalities then, it was determined, they did an analysis of how much they had set aside and how much they actually were going to owe for benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they were rolled into the Wisconsin Retirement System, the Wisconsin Retirement System set up a payback mechanism for all those communities. And so all those communities would have to pay a surcharge onto their other contributions to WRS every year. And so these prior service pension liabilities, these have been generally outstanding for 40-some years.
With a pretty hefty interest rate of 7-point-something%.
Right. And so what's finally happened is that someone there has finally said, you know, we don't want to pay interest to ETF in the amount of 6.5% or whatever the amount is at this point in time. We'd much rather borrow money from BCPL at 4-point-something and get this paid off faster.
Mr. Chairman, we did a lot of loans on this in this regard a few years ago when our interest rates were really interest rates were much lower.
Right.
And I think we had couple hundred million dollars worth of things.
But there's not that many communities remaining that have these pension liabilities,
no,
if I
really
understand
are.
It correctly, right?
No, and in fact, if you look at ETF's annual report, in the back of the annual report, there's actually a section that will list off which communities still have outstanding amounts.
And have we gone to those communities just to let them know about this?
Yes.
Okay.
A number of times.
They would rather pay higher interest rates?
They'd rather not, when they borrow from us, to pay off their pension liabilities, it goes on the books rather than off the books. So a lot of times it's a political consideration.
Right. Because at this point, once they borrow from us, it's onto their balance sheet as a liability.
As a liability, yeah.
But they can pay back the loan to us at a lower interest rate and end up out of debt. In some cases, if they stay in this loan, they're never out of debt.
Right. I don't think people realize how many lives we touch across Wisconsin.
Oh, right.
Whether it's not just providing money for public schools, but helping to ensure that people are getting their pensions. just within these 12 loans alone, we are doing everything from financing, helping for 911, to economic development, to literally looking at pension liabilities.
And buying several dump trucks.
Well, yeah. I mean, the list is pretty significant, and then so I think one of the things and I, we can talk about this maybe at a different time, it's just, I think, making sure we continue to communicate this wherever we go.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Doug, wherever you're traveling across the state, I think, Josh, whenever it's appropriate, I know I will do the same, because people need to know the value, I think, that the BCPL and that this office brings, and I think that's part of educating people.
Madam Treasurer, or Madam Chair, there's one thing we did at one time, and we could do it again, I'm sure, is we would, one of the commissioners or three of the commissioners would travel to the community and actually give them the check in person with a lot of publicity. And I did several of those, and there would often be good attendance, because if you go to Suring with a $45,000 check and the people know you're coming, there'd be quite a turnout of people for that event.
Right.
So that's something that we might consider, and maybe
should.
Josh and you might want to do something like that.
Yeah. Like, these are all good news stories, so.
Right. In addition, we always make sure that we issue a press release to all the local media for these loans that we're doing in their district.
You'll receive a copy of that today.
Okay.
And also the legislators receive a letter of all loans that are made within their district.
I signed a letter personally to each legislator that tells them how much this loan was, how much we've loaned in their district in the last 10 years.
Great.
And so we're doing everything we can in that regard. We could always do more.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to our continued working relationship with the legislature and how we let them know the value that we're bringing into their district. So that's really great to know. And Jonathan, I think it would be helpful just to kind of think through how the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and I can be helpful, I think, in continuing to communicate those messages.
What we can do, and I think I'd recommend that we, anytime you're traveling, we can give you a listing of the loans outstanding and the projects that have been financed by BCPO in the area where you're going.
Right.
And that sometimes is useful in conversation with local officials.
And the one thing I would comment again as the old timer is that the current staff, Jonathan and Tom and Rich and others, have done a great job in improving this. At one time, we didn't do any of these things that we've talked about in the last 5 or 10 minutes, and I think they deserve a good compliment for the work they've been doing.
Well, and so I just want to echo that just from like a private sector kind of perspective coming into this. The fact that there's one designated FTE managing a $1.2 billion portfolio is unheard of in the private sector. So it's a pretty significant accomplishment. So Rich and Tom and Jonathan, all the work that you guys are doing. You would not see that in the private sector, so that's great.
Just for fun, I'll call the question.
I was going to say you're going to call the question. Great.
Can I actually ask one question of the staff before I just I wanted to I know that the staff generally works by consensus, but I guess I wanted to ask, am I right that the staff unanimously supports granting all 12 loan requests, and also for future reference, if there's not consensus on an issue within the staff, I think I would appreciate knowing that, and I suspect the other members of the board would as well.
This is Jonathan. We completely agree with that sentiment and would be for sure informing you. Sometimes we don't reach a consensus, and then we come to the board. Typically, that's on a policy change that really is something that the board should make the decision on. We're all unanimous on these loans, and we will also in the future always brief the chair of the nature of the loans and if any of them are out of the ordinary or have a characteristic that should be noted, you know, that may be political or just practical.
Mm-hmm.
So I can give you an example. We had a loan to a local school district that was just following a defeat of a referendum that the community said we didn't want to borrow the amount of money that then the school district was borrowing from us. We thought that was important to convey to the board, as the loan was entirely appropriate, but the context was important also.
Yeah, Joe, that's
great,
a good question, Josh. To my knowledge, very rarely, I cannot remember cases where there was any serious contention within our staff about the loans. Okay.
So we're going to call the question?
No, go ahead.
All right. Is there a motion?
No, you
I did call the question.
You say all in favor.
Oh, all in favor. I didn't know if I needed a second. All in favor?
Mr. Doug, I vote aye.
Great. All right. So moved.
I want to comment. It's very exciting to have a unanimous vote and to have a treasurer with a voice.
Glad to be here. All right. Moving to the next order of business, the secretary's report.
Yeah, and this is usually a brief section because everything on the it's already on your packet, on your agenda. We always provide an investment transaction report, which is reporting to the board the bonds that we purchased or the investments we've made since the last board meeting. We also provide a quarterly report, which is the 2018 investment report, which is here, and then the fixed income portfolio report and the public equity income report. So you're getting the full Monty at this board meeting. It's not usually that you get all four of them. And just call your attention to that. And we'd be glad to, Rich and I and Tom would be glad to answer any questions on these documents. The other thing I'd like to mention is we will present to you in the near future sort of a work plan of projects that we think that we'd like to undertake, or, for example, like a change and amendment to the investment policy, which would help us distribute a larger distribution next year now that our smoothing fund is filled. And so we will be presenting, and also we intend to go back into land banking acquisitions in accordance with the law. And so those are the kind of things that are outside of the ordinary that we think are deserving of a real discussion with the board, and it's incumbent on us to give you the documentation that supports that discussion. So and you can expect that from us in the next month or so. Correct, Tom?
Yes.
We're on top of that. So that's all I have for my report, but I'm glad to answer any questions.
Yeah, I think one of the things that moving forward I would love to be involved with is talking about kind of our investment strategy and
sure.
looking at our big picture asset allocation. From the private sector, I think from impact investing, I think that there is a great opportunity to do some win-win investment strategies. So I think whenever we can kind of look at that and make sure that we're still doing good things for Wisconsinites while ensuring strong financial returns, I think we should maybe look at some of those opportunities. Just out of curiosity, do we have a private equity portfolio or is it just public?
We do have a private equity private portfolio interest. That is comprised of two commitments to venture capital firms.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a total $30 million commitment, $15 million to two separate firms. The amount that has been called on those commitments, I believe, is in the $4 million.
Still over five right now.
Okay.
$5 million.
Okay.
But you're right. Both of them are focused in the Wisconsin or the region. One of them, in fact, is called 4490, which gets its name from the latitude and longitude from roughly the center of Wisconsin.
Yeah, because I think that's another thing that we can then maybe talk about, too, is that if we're making investment in some of these early-stage Wisconsin-based companies, that's, again, something that we can start talking about, letting people know, again, like a win-win, right? We're getting strong returns for public schools and libraries, but we're also doing good things for, like, the business community.
That's right. So. We do have an asset allocation to private equity and venture capital, and we haven't reached the top range of that allocation.
Yeah.
We do have some room, and there are some other smaller venture capital firms around the state that may be raising money. You have to, you know, they may or may not be raising money at the time that you're interested, and so we'll just have to take a look at that and forward.
Yeah.
This is Doug. Remind me to ask them, the venture people that we met with and we set aside funding, have they drawn much of that yet?
No.
About $5 million of the 30 that we committed.
5 of 30 they've drawn. Okay, thank you.
We would not expect them to draw the full 30. We would expect them to draw we just don't know, but we would expect that they'll start returning investments to us before they can draw the full amount.
Good.
That is a good example of where we came to this board with the 4490 group, with the venture investor group, and the investment plan, and had a great discussion with the board as to whether or not we're going to invest in venture capital, and then in which case, what would the allocation be?
Yep.
So the allocation then was set at 3%. We've committed almost 3% of that, but we don't expect we're going to draw that or see it drawn. So I can envision that we'll have a discussion in the near future amongst the board as to whether or not we have room for another venture capital investment. And if so, where and what? Lastly, Chairman, we would welcome you when the investment committee is meeting.
Yes, I would love to be part of the investment committee.
We're pretty informal, but we do keep some minutes. And what we do is we work within the construct of the guidelines that the board has given us.
Right.
And if we want to stray from that, then we have to go back to the board and amend the plan. And so we're always only investing with the authority you've thus far given us.
Right.
You know, this is Doug. I just note that we, it's for Josh and Sarah particularly, we just fairly recently decided to go into the stock market, if you will. And you can see from the last document, we purchased, about 40-some million dollars worth of Vanguard type things. I note, of course, that we've lost about $3 million. I would just ask Rich, I mean, the stock market has not done well.
That's a great
How
question.
Has our performance versus the general been?
Our performance has been better than our benchmark, primarily because we are patient in timing when we buy any new equity ETF. For instance, when the stock market the Dow will drop 500 points, that's an actual buying opportunity for us. And so we'll buy on the dip. We have an allocation of about $1 million a week that we're putting into the stock market, but we kind of try to time it a little bit depending on what the market is doing that week or that month. You know, when the stock market was close to record highs of 27,000-ish for the Dow Jones, we were pretty quiet during that month. We didn't buy very much at all. But now that, you know, there's been a slight correction to the stock market, we've been actively buying since then.
So the fact that our loss is 7%, how does that compare to the overall stock market?
Well, the Russell 3000, which is the broad-based index for the United States stock market, has gone down 12.5% since the day that we started buying. And global market has been, you know, the benchmark that we use for our global equities is down 19.5% since we started buying. And so our losses in those regards are much less than the losses in the general market.
Rich, would you highlight something that this shows at the end of December,
yep.
minus 7.3?
Yep.
There's been a change in the market since the end of December.
Right. That's
and you might want to just highlight that because I think our loss right now, if you want to, is in the neighborhood of less than
4%.
4%. Yeah.
Because
if you look at that, that was a bad day.
I understand.
That was a bad day.
Very bad day in the market.
But I don't keep track of good and bad days.
Yeah.
I will say for the record and for Josh and Sarah, we debated several times over the past three decades whether we wanted to go into equities, and the board generally said no. We were all pretty much opposed to that, both Democrat and Republicans from all three, attorney generals, treasurer, and secretary of state. Recently, we decided to jump in a little bit, and that's what we're now seeing the results of.
Can I just say one last thing, is that we're focused on dividend-paying stocks. And we're buying in ETFs which have no cost, basically. There's no cost structure or negative. And then lastly, we've got a 30-year horizon here. I mean, you know, you only lose money when you sell the equity that you purchased. And so we really don't anticipate stepping out of the market anytime soon. And I think Rich's and the committee's strategy of buying on the dips modestly has been the appropriate one for the time being.
And I think, Doug, it going back, one of the things I'm excited about is kind of continuing this conversation about asset allocation and looking at what a really smart investment strategy looks like moving forward. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
Ditto. Good. The only other, I guess, question that I have, this is just on previous board meetings, is that I know that, I'm not sure if this was a policy statement or if there's anything we need to do on our end, but there was a, when I read the previous minutes, there was something about not supporting loans that had renewable energy involved in that, and I wasn't sure if that became part of a policy for approving public purpose loans, or if that was just more of the kind of ideology of the board at the time, but I just want to make sure I understand if that is something that's in the investment policy.
It's not in the policy.
I want to address that.
It is a board policy. It's not in the investment policy.
Okay.
The policy was that we would not accept a loan application for the purposes of energy conservation purposes from a school district because of the fact that there were special procedures that were laid out in the statute for school districts to borrow money for energy conservation purposes.
Yeah, I can comment. The vote to do that was 2-1. I voted against that. And I would be very excited for this new board to revisit that.
Yeah, so I guess.
But the law has changed.
The law did change.
Okay.
At that point in time, a school district could borrow money for an energy efficiency project without going to referendum.
Okay.
And so the one of the members of the board decided that he didn't want to support any of those loans whatsoever. And so rather than it having to even get to the board for a vote on approving the loan, they adopted a policy that we would not accept an application for such loans from school districts.
The interesting thing about it is it had less to do with energy conservation than it had to do with the perception by a couple board members that this was getting around the requirements for referendums for school districts. And the districts were borrowing too much money. And it had little to do with energy conservation, except that was the basis under the statute that they were able to do this. So we recommended all those loans up until they told us we couldn't.
But now, can we receive them now anymore?
Well, is there the advantage there, Tom?
The fact is, it would probably be a good idea to sweep that policy off the books because of the fact that the policy was fairly broadly described.
Yep.
And so if a school had passed a referendum for the purposes of energy conservation, I'm not sure how that would be treated under that old policy.
So is that something we should do at the future meeting?
Yes.
We'll bring you up.
So when we get the future agenda,
So I want to make sure that we address that because I will tell you when I was reading these previous minutes that I mean, I don't know why we are picking out certain things for public purpose and not. That just seemed a little silly to me.
Now you understand.
So great. Yes, I think if we can put that on a future agenda,
sure,
that would be.
That's our next agenda item.
Happy to do that, actually.
Great. Any other policies from the past that maybe we should be looking at from maybe a previous board?
Well, travel out of state is a previous board's policy.
Okay.
That now requires a full board action to go, anybody to go out of state. It gets a little absurd when Tom and Rich go to Chicago and we have to get a vote to go out of state to go to that conference that's free. So it may be to look at that in the future, just make that a determination of the chair.
I think that would be great. Can we need to add that as a future agenda item as well?
More than happy to add that to a future agenda.
Great.
Okay, so have we moved on to number six, sort of? Unofficially?
Yeah, we're talking about future agenda items. Yeah.
Okay, so we have two items that we've talked to put on there now. Okay, got it.
Any other policies that we should look at?
I'm sure there are, but I just can't think of them. Well, you got one done.
Yeah, Chair, I would suggest that we ask the board to prepare a memo for us for the next meeting on items that they think might deserve review. Is that a fair agenda item?
That would be well.
That's perfect. Yes,
good.
We'd be happy to do that.
So, looks like there's three.
I have a fourth one. It was suggested by one board member recently that we might want to explore whether we can operate with fewer meetings. And so we'll bring you some options on that, how that might be effective. Because it is possible, for sure, to reduce the number of meetings, but not dramatically.
Okay.
Yeah, the problem with reducing meetings is that the loans need to be approved because people are waiting for their money.
Right. The only way you could reduce the number of meetings, you'd have to give the staff delegation authority to make loans and approve them within some limit that you set.
Yeah.
But we'll always need board meetings for when we buy real estate or sell real estate, or any number of outside of the ordinary transactions.
Yep.
for the record, I was not the board member that made that suggestion. Before we had the call-in system, which Josh is taking advantage of, it was sometimes problematic. But I've seen no problem with the number of meetings we have now, given the telephone call-in system, that we can call in from Timbuktu or anywhere.
Any other?
For informational purposes,
yeah.
There were two other policies that were adopted by the board over the last 4 years. One of them was for any expenses of staff that exceeded $5,000 needed to be approved by the board chair. And the other one was with respect to climate change and global warming. There was a policy of the board that staff members were not supposed to work on such issues during work hours.
Which was sort of an irrelevant policy.
So, yeah.
Mostly symbolic, Madam Chair.
I think if we can bring these up at our next meeting to make sure that we can look at these and decide whether that makes sense, to me that's the best way to move ahead. But
yep.
I think that would be great to
look
at that.
We will include that in the memo that the Secretary of State has requested.
And that's it.
A legal question, Tom. In that memo, if you have some items, would they be on the agenda such that we could act on them at that meeting or not?
They will
if they're in the memo.
They will be set up in such a way that the board could take action.
If we wish to. Thank you, Tom.
And then I don't know if we need this as a future agenda item, but I think continuing to kind of, we talked about this investment policy and those updates, so I think continuing to work on that piece too. But any other future agenda items? Mr. Secretary, what are we missing?
Is this a regular meeting item or not?
Well, I will tell you, I'm not a regular Betty Crocker, so this is a pretty special ordeal. Josh, I brought cookies for our first meeting. You know, I thought it was a good way to kick it off. So you can't say no to food, right?
Okay. I'm going to take a whole pocketful back, but with that item, I will move. We adjourn.
Is there a second?
I second.
Great. So it's been moved and seconded. The meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for a great first meeting.
We should vote, technically. All in favor?
All in favor?
I vote yay.
Aye for Josh.
So moved. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
We're adjourned. Good job.
Okay.
Thanks.